Okay.
Freeze.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the June meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board of Directors. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown as well as online. If you wish to speak on any item on the agenda while watching online, if you would hit the chat function and let Doug know. And I do not have any forms for anybody who's signed up to speak tonight, but if you do speak on an item, if you would fill out one, Matt, you're a known commodity. He is one of our frequent flyers. So at that point, I'd like to welcome out of here. And Mr. Lusk, would you call roll, please, sir?
You bet. Justin Bradley.
Here.
Jared Reynolds. Absent. Bob Lusk here. Shannon Knave.
Here.
Tracy Messler.
Here.
Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Don Micah.
Here.
Jason Flint.
Here.
We do have a quorum. If everybody please stand and join me in the pledge of flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Doug, we don't have any public comments on your side, do we?
I have not received any, Tracy.
Okay. First item on the agenda was a show cause hearing, but I will note that it was in relation to outstanding settlement offers, and all the offers have been accepted prior to the meeting, so that item is moved. And so I'm beginning a public hearing.
Actually, Tracy,
go ahead.
Can we move the regular agenda item number 4 to the top and in consideration of their time?
Yes.
The folks here to present to us? Would you like me to give a little background before they get up?
Well, let me get that agenda item. Presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding Parker County Public Utility Agency with an acronym of PUA. Doug, if you'd give the background, please.
Yes, sir. If we've talked about several times here, Parker County, everybody knows Parker County's got long-term water issues. And we all know it's going to be difficult to bring water in from out piecemeal. It's going to be difficult to piecemeal move water in from outside into the county. We had hired Freeze and Nichols several years ago. That kind of started the discussion. The big recommendation, if they looked at Parker and Wise County, the big recommendation was we need to form some regional water entities to bring water in. Parker County has taken that and run with it. Commissioner Walden has kind of headed up that charge. I've been involved along with a group of other people, a committee that was originally ARPA funds, I believe, that was put together to spend ARPA funds and turn into kind of a water committee. We'd selected Freeze and Nichols. They're working with the county. Our first recommendation, or the first big thing we need to do, is form a PUA, a public utility agency, to help accommodate that, to bringing water into the area. If you remember, I presented this to the board in January. We had a discussion. At the time, the board gave me, seemed like a pretty solid direction to move forward with the idea that, yes, we were interested in joining this entity and being part of it. So to that end, they're getting ready down to the nitty gritty. They've got draft ordinances, which have been provided to you, financial agreements. So we've got the folks from Freeze and Nichols here, and they are going to make a presentation to you guys about the PUA. So, and I will turn it over to Jessica.
Okay.
And Jessica, if you just tell me when to switch to the next slide.
Jessica, if you'd introduce yourself, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Will do. Jessica Brown, Freeze and Nichols. So I'm leading this water supply initiative. I also have with me Andrew Franco from Freeze and Nichols, Brian Grimes, Director of Strategic Projects for Parker County, and then Ken Davis, who is also from the Hydrology Committee. Mm-hmm. So appreciate them attending here. You can go to the next one, Doug. So I'm just going to go through, obviously, Doug has briefed you on some of this already. Some of the drivers you're going to be obviously keenly aware of, because some of that data is actually coming from the Groundwater Conservation District. I'll give you an overview, a quick overview of the initiative, what the PUA development looks like, and then what our next steps are. So today is really meant to be a little bit more on the education update side. We're not asking you to take any action at this point. That will be coming up in the near future. Go to the next one. Oh, sorry, Doug can go. Yeah, there we go. So I don't need to give you a lot of background on this slide. This is actually your data that this came from. So I do want to really thank Doug and his team for helping with providing a lot of this information and definitely for active engagement over this time. But as you know, Parker County has drilled a high number of wells, the highest number of wells in the state over the last 20 years. You can go to the next one.
If I may.
No, you go ahead.
Jessica, Kyle, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but Kyle's done some looking and we can't find anywhere in the world.
Oh, wow.
That's drilled these many wells for this size area.
Okay.
And I'm going to quickly point out,
yes,
I've done some research in previous years. I believe Wise County was the second highest in the
yes,
state.
Yes, sir.
I questioned Doug earlier about Montague being fifth. He said, well, probably not fifth, but in the top 10, and Hood probably in the top 20. Mm-hmm. That means our four counties in our district, in the top 20 out of 254 for water wells. And that is a tremendous drain on what is really shallow aquifers and thin aquifers. So.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Great point. Well, and really the next slide really kind of shows some of that data and where we're going. And again, as you mentioned, this is just Parker. Obviously, you cover more than Parker County. But some of the things that we're seeing on average is those wells are having to be drilled deeper and we're getting less out of them. And so some of the things we're looking at is being able to obviously diversify water coming into Parker County to preserve what we have here now. Sorry, you can go to the next one, Doug. As you know, Parker County falls within Region C in the state water plan. And so the numbers that you have in front of you, those are the current state water plan numbers. So that dark blue line up at the top, you know, those are the projected demands looking out 50 years. The light blue bar, that's the existing supplies that each entity has. The yellow bar are the strategies or essentially water supply strategies that are in the state water plan right now. So you'll notice the further out you go, there's a gap as you look at that. And so that's some of what we're looking to address. Thank you. So the overall goal of the study was to look at short-term and long-term solutions to Parker County water supply. Go to the next one. I'm not going to go through every single one of these in detail, but just to kind of show you the linear process, Doug mentioned a little earlier, one of the first things we had to determine as there had been discussions on a water district is what that would look like. You do have two options, and I'll show you kind of a side-by-side of what those are, but it was either going through the legislative process or trying a different route. And so the route that we went, for those of you in Wise County intimately familiar, we decided to go the public utility agency route because there are a lot of really significant details that need to be worked through, and that really is a lot more feasible at this PUA level. So then going through from there, you know, obviously trying to quantify what water needs are, you know, what is that gap that we need to fill? Again, looking beyond just the state water plan, looks at supply. We're needing to look a little more specifically at where that is. And then meeting with different water providers, we have been going through and doing that over the last several months, really the last year. And then engaging stakeholders. This can translate from the general public, which we had the Parker County Water Symposium last November. I appreciated Doug being on the panel for that. Part of that goal was really a lot of education of water issues that the county is facing. Just a preview forward, we are planning on doing another one of those in early November, so more information to come out on that soon. But we got a lot of great feedback, and we're excited about that. The other side of public engagement has been getting all of the different potential entities together to meet. And so we've had a lot of different meetings. Like I said, Doug has attended all of those and so I've appreciated the input, you know, that he's provided with that. But again, working through, you know, some of the different challenges each entity is facing. From there, you know, once we know demands, what we know, once we know where that is, laying out what the infrastructure improvements would look like, and then obviously costing. You know, obviously once you have improvements identified, you have to be able to figure out how to pay for that. Part of that is rates, but a part of that is looking at other funding mechanisms. So we have been engaging with legislators along the way, both at the state and federal level, and have appreciated all of them coming along the way. From the federal side, we actually do have a request in for some federal appropriations for this next year. And so we appreciate working with Representative Goldman on that. So more to come on that. That'll be towards the latter part of the year. to the next one. So obviously on the considerations, we've kind of hit on a lot of those. You know, on the water supply side, you know, we've obviously been blessed with groundwater to date, but that, you know, long term, we need to be able to have additional water supplies coming in. Those costs are significant. I mean, anybody who builds anything these days obviously sees that cost is a challenge. And so any entity doing it on their own becomes cost prohibitive. On the third one is looking at economic development impacts. You know, that's kind of putting on our lens of looking overall. If some of the areas falter in terms of water supply, they can't develop, that obviously impacts other parts of the county. And then the last one is really not having any mechanism to be able to work together. You know, you can do like a one-off interlocal agreement, et cetera, but really needing to be able to have a bigger picture way to work together. So I mentioned earlier there were two regional supply entity or water supply entity options. And so you see those contrasted here. The pink is the public utility agency. Again, that's the direction that we're going here. And the right is the water district option. I'm not going to go through each of these in detail, but really the main things you need to know is that the water district option, you have to go through the legislature for that. So your options are basically every 2 years. And if we have to change something, we would have to wait until the legislature met again to be able to address that. With the public utility agency, that is formed by each entity passing a concurrent ordinance. And so then if there are, you know, things that need to be addressed at the local level, we can address those along the way. And so one last thing that you'll notice on this is that on taxing authority, a PUA never has taxing authority. So we're obviously looking at funding, you know, from water rates, you know, once you start selling water. The next one. So, you know, we have this map of the county here to be able to show, you know, one of the challenges that we have from a water supply standpoint is that Parker County is split between two river basins. So you'll see that black dashed line is the river basin boundary. Everything to the right side of that is within the Trinity Basin, and everything to the left of that is within the Brazos Basin. A couple other things on this map, you'll see the areas that are highlighted in green. Those are the entities that to date have indicated they're interested in moving forward. You know, we've been doing this exact same presentation for each of those boards and councils. The area that you see that is in kind of that light tannish color, that is unincorporated Parker County. And obviously at this point, there is no other entity that is planning for water supply to that area. So that's another big thing we're trying to tackle. Go to the next one. Yeah. So this is kind of the listing of the different entities that we have been meeting with. All of these have been attending each of the meetings. And so to date, this is who we are planning on moving forward with. Obviously, some potential things could change there, but each of those is doing the same thing you are in reviewing the ordinance, interlocal agreement, et cetera, and planning to move forward. So if you can go to the next one. So the question you would get into is, how is a PUA formed? I mentioned on the legislative option with the water district, obviously that goes through the legislature. The way the public utility agency is formed is that each of the entities, we've been going through all of those light blue boxes that are on the left. That's what these stakeholder meetings have been about. You know, who is going to be a part of that? What is the power of the entity? What are the boundaries of the entity, you know, board, et cetera? And so all of that has been, all those meetings have been what has been used to develop this ordinance and then the user agreement, which is the financing agreement. So from there, after we have the final ordinance and user agreement, which we have comments from a few entities, we're working through addressing those now. But each of the entities would go through and advertise in a newspaper. You essentially advertise for 2 consecutive weeks, once a week. And then each entity goes through and passes their concurrent ordinances. So that part is a little more straightforward. Obviously, everything leading up to that, you know, that's what we've been working through. So a couple of things, you know, one is what's in the ordinance versus what is in the user agreement. So in the ordinance, that lists out each of the entities, what the service area is, who has board positions. Each entity has a board position. What are the qualifications for that? You'll see what that is in a minute. What their terms are, you know, how long they are. Do you allow, you know, for reappointments, et cetera. Board positions, what the agency powers are, and then voting. Voting, honestly, and the cost sharing are the two things that we've had the most discussion about, which makes sense. Those are probably the things that are most at stake. And then the user agreement itself spells out the cost sharing. So until the entity, you know, is obviously selling water, there is some cost sharing, like you've seen on the West Fork/Wise County side, to be able to try to develop those water supplies. And then we did include in the documents an allowance for reimbursement. That's one of the ways that that's one of the discussions that we have with each of the entities. I want to have some incentive for joining early. You know, there's a disincentive for joining late, and there's an incentive for joining early. And so those costs that are being paid in initially, there's an allowance in the ordinance or in the user agreement that allows each of those entities that joined at the beginning to be reimbursed for their costs. And then there's a term of the agreement and obviously a fiscal agent. Specifically, and Doug, if you go to the next one, a couple of those, just some of those major decisions that we had, each entity that joins as a public entity will get a board spot. Those are 4-year terms. There is not any provision for term limits in there. Obviously, they will stagger just like any other board, half and half. So you'll have half that are 2 years, half that are 4 years, and then it'll go 4 years after that. We do have some very small entities, and so there was a desire by each of them, by all of the entities, to have some flexibility as to who they appoint. And so you'll see the board qualifications there. Fiscal year is concurrent with others. The user agreement itself on the financing side is set up for 5 years, and then it can be renewed every year after that. And the fiscal agent initially is set up as Parker County. So those are some of the kind of big picture items on the ordinance and user agreement. So the next question that we typically got from some of the different entities is, what does it look like to if I need to exit the agency? And so you'll see per statute, there's two components to that. The first is before the entity issues debt. Then the member just gives passes an ordinance and gives notice. That's all per state statute. On after debt is issued, also in state statute, obviously, you know, once you incur debt, you know, if you have signed on, and in your case, obviously you wouldn't be contracting for water, but some of the entities, if they contract for water, they would have to either assign their debt to another entity or pay it off, you know, which makes sense. And then the water rates obviously are shared by everyone. So the other component that we had is the cost sharing. And so we had worked through, we probably went through about 3 or 4 iterations of this, but you'll see the cost sharing is set up by population. And we had worked with Doug kind of talking about the Upper Trinity contribution, because it's not as straightforward since you don't have a served population. So you'll see that noted here. And then with all of the different entities that we mentioned earlier, you can go to the next one. Sorry. This is how that plays out for each of those entities that are part of that. The reason this number is important, if you go to the next one, is budgeting and what that looks like initially. You know, typically with a utility agency that's starting up, they won't hire staff from day one. Obviously, right, because you have a cost incurred with that. And so a lot of that's done through contracting. And so you'll see kind of two phases to this, before having full-time staff and then after having full-time staff. But there are a number of different things, you know, that would need to happen. Obviously, you know, legal, you need to do an audit to be eligible for Water Development Board funds, et cetera. And so needing to make sure that we pay for, that we provide for that. So obviously in this initial phase, you know, we've been doing some of this now and would be continuing to do some of this after we have everyone signed up. But that's first, you know, continuing to explore, you know, those water supply infrastructure options. We have had some great meetings early on. We're setting up kind of the next phase of potential wholesale meetings there. So obviously the first phase, there's not infrastructure costs. Once we know exactly what those improvements are, then laying out what those are, the costs, what cost participation looks like, et cetera. To go to the next one. So originally we were planning for kind of a June, July, August time period in terms of advertising, ordinances, et cetera. We're pushing this out about a month just because we had a few last questions on the ordinance. And so we're wanting to really make sure that we address all of those. But essentially looking at seating a board in Q4 of this year. So we'll, you know, keep Doug updated, but we would be looking to come later this summer with the ordinance and financing agreement. And so this is kind of our last, you know, kind of summary slide that we've had for each of the entities. Why are we forming this and you know, why joining that? I mentioned earlier, and usually Commissioner Walden would be here, but it's rodeo week in Parker County, so he's a little tied up with that. But really, if I, you know, I had to get into there, some of the things that he makes sure that he points out is that nobody else is planning for Parker County. I talked about the state water plan early on, and obviously there's numbers for that. Those strategies that you see in there are developed by the entities that are being served. The state water plan doesn't develop those. You come and you know, bring those to the Water Development Board, and then they go through and do that. So nobody else is planning, you know, for Parker County needs. And so that's, you know, this entity, that is what that entity would be set up for. This entity is actually also in the state water plan. So the reason that's important is because that makes the entity eligible for Water Development Board funds, which is really critical. So, you know, I mentioned some of the challenges earlier. This is obviously just the counter to that. You know, we don't have another agency that's doing that. Counties are not set up for doing that. This agency would be set up specifically for that, just as you're set up for groundwater. You know, when we get into regionalization, that really increases in priority your access to state and federal funding. So that improves your abilities for that. Obviously, being able to coordinate infrastructure planning, so looking at opportunities, you know, to be able to work together and to lower costs, you know, to each entity overall. And then just really providing for that long-term water reliability. So I know that was quite a bit, but happy to answer any questions.
Doug, if you'd quickly go back to that one. Back up right there. The gap where that arrow is, several years ago, this district recognized that our groundwater cannot sustain the development and the demand in Parker and Wise County, and frankly, in parts of Hood County as well. Luckily, barely inhabited Montague County can probably get in line where they can make it. That gap right there represents Parker County. We hired, engaged Friesen Nichols several years ago to do us the in-depth study for Parker and Wise County. The end result was they came back, and I suspect that your people that were working with Region C went, oops. That 50 years out is represents 600,000 people that nobody was planning water for. Roughly two-thirds Parker County, one-third Wise County. Over half a million people, no water for. That resulted in this most recent regional water plan for C, recognizing they've got issues in Parker and Wise, resulted in Wise County starting a PUC, resorting in Parker County doing the same. And the reason we're involved in that is those maps that show rural Parker County, they don't have water mains in front of their houses. They only exist off of rainwater or groundwater. And lots of them will never have a water main, but they still have to have water. And we're trying to protect them as an insult for Parker County, for roughly half of Wise County. And so that is why we have invested money in it to do this, because we're trying to stretch our groundwater supply. Mr. Berkeley was the original member of this board. I came on 10 months later and had a discussion with our contract hydrologist, Van Kelly, at the time. He made a comment. I made a very blunt, somewhat crude prediction of what would happen in our region, and basically said we can save Montague County, the rest of them are in doubt or dead. And his comment was the state was 10 years late on the pigment designation. So we're scrambling. Thankfully, we've got two commissioners' courts and the local entities who recognize they've got a problem and this is coming forward. So I'm taking advantage of this because I'm actually a journalist and I'm seeing a whole bunch of people that I can get word out in the public real quick right now by preaching a little bit. But this is something that needs to be done. Yes. Now, I've had my say. The rest of the board can have their shot now.
Real quick, there are seats available if you'd like to come in and sit.
Yes, there's more seats up here. Please come on in.
Jessica, yes. You are a resident of Parker County.
Yes, I am.
Long term.
Yes.
Yes. One of the things you brought up was if an entity wanted to leave the PUA, debt, there would be a process with that. Obviously, with the Upper Trinity, we wouldn't have a water demand. So if we were in there in the PUA, there was debt and we decided to leave, what impact would that have on Upper Trinity?
Yeah. So, with that, majority of that debt really is looking at buying water. Because you're not buying water, then I think that process would look a little different.
Wouldn't the PUA also be involved in engineering, buying right away, and installing water lines and water treatment plants? So mm-hmm. The PUA would have not just the water they're purchasing, but also the means to transport it to Parker mm-hmm. County. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't any entity that's part of it have some share in that debt?
Well, again, the debt typically, so the debt should be paid for by water rates. Like that's the goal. And the way that the ordinance is currently set up is that the cost sharing that I mentioned earlier would go away once you had 125% of, operating funds. So there's a goal to work out of that cost sharing. And so at that point, I would think, especially that if Upper Trinity said, obviously you've been a great partner, in terms of participating with that. If you said, I think our obligation has been met and we don't want to do that, or, we feel that the entity can stand on its own. I don't think that would impact y'all. I can for sure check with our attorney. We're actually meeting with him tomorrow to do that.
Great. Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Quick question. Yes, sir.
I'm glad you brought that up, Sue. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that also apply to Parker County as well as an entity?
It would, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
No, I'd visited mm-hmm. with Brian about this as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
It would. I mean, the goal is for the entity to work you and Parker County out of a job, right? At the end, that it becomes a, self-sufficient entity.
Work us out of financing.
Yes, sorry. Yes.
Not out of a job.
Not out of a job. Sorry. Apologies.
Still a walking around out there. We're still in the job.
Yes, sir. No, you would definitely be a very critical part of obviously the overall solution. Absolutely.
I saw. Go ahead, please.
Well, I need to get a better grasp.
Yes, sir.
The whole idea here is to create an entity mm-hmm. that will benefit Parker County mm-hmm. and the groundwater. You envision taking all of these entities getting together and you have no income for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And yet you're going to have, once the general manager's on board, roughly $500,000 a year in expenses. So I assume until income begins, and I think that begs the question, mm-hmm. at what point do y'all estimate income will begin flowing in?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. So I think there's two components to that. On the general manager side, hiring full-time staff, I don't think that's a day one decision. That's a decision the board would make, obviously, as the board is looking at income, et cetera, and when things are when infrastructure is coming on. On the infrastructure side, there are some mechanisms that allow for a delayed payback, especially on the Water Development Board side. I can't remember if it's like 5 or 10 years for you to start paying that debt to allow an entity like this to construct infrastructure and then start selling water so that obviously you can pay off your debt.
Okay. So in theory, the mm-hmm. entity is going to borrow money, a municipal bond, mm-hmm. I guess we could say.
Mostly, I would envision something more along the lines of Water Development Board funds. So that's some discussions.
So you're not talking about going public. You're talking about borrowing it from another entity?
Yeah.
Okay. So once the money is borrowed, then the infrastructure is created, mm-hmm. and 5 or 10 years down the road, maybe income is starting to be generated. And that income is going to come from the areas or the people living in the green areas.
The people that are buying water. So it could be in the green. It could be if you have some entities that develop within an unincorporated area that are developing a water system.
That's not going to be people on well water.
No, sir. No, sir. Yes. No, that's a good clarification. And one thing I wanted to make sure to say, and that's something we say early on, obviously we're not looking at doing anything with anyone's wells, at this point. I mean, there's no interest in any of that. So what we're trying to do is bring in additional water so that it protects what everybody has here. So everybody with existing wells, that is not the focus of the PUA. The focus of the PUA, again, is the future water needs.
We're not going to have a conflict between what we are telling the public or yes. preached for decades mm-hmm. about your domestic wells will mm-hmm. never be taxed.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm actually one of those people, too. So.
Okay. And what happens if all of these great laid plans mm-hmm. go amiss, then the entities are legally responsible to the lenders.
Yes, sir. So you mean after you construct infrastructure?
Yes.
Yes, you would have to one way or another pay off the debt. And all of that is spelled out in Local Government Code Chapter 572.
Did I understand you correctly sure. to say that the water district will not be on the hook for that?
No, because you're not contracting for water. Obviously, the infrastructure costs are for those that are contracting for water.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mike, I know where you're going. Let's say there's a water, one of the first projects to bring a water line in mm-hmm. Walnut Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Those people be buying the water off of that. Those are the ratepayers to be covering
yes.
that.
But everybody in the PUA has to pay for the infrastructure.
Well, if they're not getting water yet, they're not paying. It'll be part of their water bill.
Just the entities that are taking the water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So whether it's the city of Weatherford, mm-hmm. Annetta, or Willow Park, if they're buying water, part of the...
Yeah, right? And that's what's paying for the debt.
You envision now, let's say, in Annetta, you're mm-hmm. charged X dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
Do you envision that is going to increase significantly over what it is now after the infrastructure is constructed?
I think with that, I guess when you think of water rates and you know what they're composed of, part of that is debt, one part of that is operations and maintenance. So
actual water.
That's true. And then the cost of the actual water itself from the entity. So obviously with the cost of the water from the entity, you're going to be contracting for that. So you would work through the details in that. The infrastructure, you know what the cost is for that. And so then the difference there is operations, maintenance, and staff, just like you would have with any other entity.
I don't want to.
Yes, sir. No, that's okay.
Your time here.
No worries.
Where's the water coming from?
So on the east side in the Trinity Basin, we've had some meetings with Tarrant Regional Water District, so we've had some discussions there. On the west side, a lot of our initial conversations have centered with BRA, so we've had an initial meeting with them, and so we're going to be having some follow-up meetings with them. The main thing they have been waiting on is those exact detailed numbers. Tarrant Regional has spelled out exactly the information that they need, so we're working on putting that information together. It's pretty specific. On the Tarrant Regional side, our discussions have also been where we should plan from an infrastructure standpoint that water coming from, and the direction we were given is to come from the Lake Benbrook area. A nice thing is that Weatherford has an intake and a pipeline, et cetera. And so, I think a lot of what you think of with an entity like this initially is all new infrastructure. That may not be the case. There may be opportunities to partner with some of the entities to use available capacity while we're building other infrastructure.
Water is not coming from groundwater?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir. It would be surface water.
I think one of the challenges, Jessica, one of the challenges y'all have had so far is getting the entities that are involved to tell you how much water they think they're going to need.
Yes.
And without that information, it's hard to go to TRA
right.
or anyone else to do that.
Yes.
I mean, the majority of the water we're looking at, I think, is going to be coming from the east.
Mm-hmm.
And for the population we have and the populations that's coming, mm-hmm. we're going to need more water for those. This is an infrastructure that can potentially eventually build a loop or multiple loops around the county to interconnect the water districts, the individual cities, so that we can move water around and take care of the population that's both here and going. And are we going to be able to serve all of the tan areas in the county? That's going to be challenging, but more and more as we extend loops out through and we have water lines, we're going to be able to serve more and less people will be dependent on water. I think as we move forward, we on the board can see Western Parker County is going to be hard for additional residential development to go on out there because there's no water. And without this, it's going to be hard to serve that community.
Whereas with this, it becomes enticing for developers and for residents and such.
And additionally, the parts that are green are going to have water security because they will have water that's not from local sources but from East Texas that are able to provide them water when local sources are in a drought or we have other situations going on.
Absolutely.
And I believe, and Doug will correct me on this because he's worked at the TBDB, your question of what's the fallback position, and if it's a TWDB grant, I think the worst case scenario is they take it over and operate until the debt is repaid and assess the cost to the customers in those system, particular systems. So there is a fallback, but it's at the state level.
Yeah, there is.
Right, Doug.
Yep.
Yeah, there is a, obviously, the PUA is highly regulated by the state in this. And so, you know, everything that we've done to frame this has been within, you know, the confines of what, you know, what the state allows.
How much involvement will Doug have if we do this?
So obviously Upper Trinity would have a board position. So that would be the first thing. Obviously it would be up to you to appoint someone, you know, from that. I would assume it'd probably be Doug, but I don't want to assume or anything like that. I definitely would see Doug being a partner in, a lot of the education that the PUA side, you know, would be doing. And I know y'all have offered some in-kind services in addition to financial support, so we would just be working with y'all to obviously not overtax your time.
For the board's information, the executive committee met last week or week before last?
Several days ago.
Several days ago. We've had too many meetings. Mm-hmm. And this was brought up, and frankly a concern about, because some of the in-kind will fall on Doug as far as getting notices posted, getting a number of other activities involved. Not so much the day-to-day operation or the week-to-week, but the members of the executive committee expressed concern about overloading him because he's already on a number of other issues and stuff and such. And I would hope the other partners understand there's a limit to what Doug
can do. Absolutely.
And he might get the reins put on him if it gets too bad.
Yeah.
From my standpoint, obviously, I'm one of the Parker County members. If we don't do this, if we don't have a seat at the table, we got a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's the only way we're going to be able to help. Very few have as much knowledge as Doug. I do agree on the overload part of it. But, you know, other than that, when we talk, we've been kicking this can down the road for a minute.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's time to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been going through and doing this, obviously, exact same presentation at all the different entities, each board or council. That way all of you hear the same information at the same time, because we didn't want the first time, obviously Doug's done a great job of keeping you updated, but we didn't want the first time some of the different entities, board members or council members, the first time they hear that is at the ordinance. And so those presentations have gone pretty well. I think you're number 9 out of the 12, somewhere in that range. So we're getting close to the end. We have one more in a couple weeks. And then our last one is actually ended up having to be pushed to July because of some board agenda or council agendas that were a little full. So that's why I said we're kind of pushing it just a little bit, but maybe a month from what I was showing you earlier. So obviously time is of the essence on that. And we want to be able to seat the board and start being able to move forward.
Real quick question. Mm-hmm. On this map that we have before us, on the Tarrant County area that's more of a gray, is that City of Fort Worth water?
It's City of Fort Worth. Mm-hmm.
So that already has all the water they need.
Yes, they're self-sufficient, and that's why they're aware. Obviously, you know, we invited them to symposium, et cetera, so they're aware, and we kept them up to date, but there obviously wasn't a reason for them to join.
Other board members have any other questions?
So you're saying this board would consist of 13 members?
Yes. It'd be more like 12.
I mean, you've got 13 names up here.
We do. They have to, for board members, you have to be a public entity. And so the one entity on there, and I know Matt's behind me, so Aqua is not. That's per state statute, the way that's written. They can cost participate, and they can contract for water, but the way Chapter 372 is written, unfortunately, they cannot have a board position. We have allowed for a designation of an ex officio board position, but obviously that doesn't come with voting rights.
They can pay to not have a vote.
Yes.
There's a diversity. There's some private companies, some cities, and like our group right here. Mm-hmm. So there's a diversity in terms of of positions.
Yes, sir.
And I think it's important to point out, and I think Matt would probably agree. I think Matt, we know Matt well. but I think in 20, 30, 40 years, there's a good chance that Aqua Texas is buying a lot of water from this entity, because I know Matt sees the issue, having worked on the technical side of it, with the long-term sustainability of some of their systems depending on groundwater. And so I think we have to think of it that way. It's not just for new development. It's there, like you guys hit the nail on the head, Tracy, when you're talking about protecting the people who have their wells in place right now, because those folks don't have another option. Yeah. So new development needs to be on surface water. And eventually the systems that have infrastructure in the ground, you know, your Aqua Texas systems, your Texas water utilities, if we can get those converted to surface water, that's really going to make a huge impact long term for all those private wells out there.
Yep.
And that's, you know, this vehicle is probably the only way that's going to, I'm not going to have Doug call me and say, we've got a neighborhood in eastern Parker County that they are out of water, out of all their individual water wells. Mm-hmm. And he will tell you for about the last 3 years, I'm going, don't call me this summer. Yeah. Don't call me this summer.
I understand your.
I don't think I'm being Chicken Little there. There are some places that I don't know. We'd be surprised if it happened.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a neighborhood based on the data we had not far from where I live. That I live off of, you know, Bear Creek, et cetera. And if you look at like Clara Vista, some of those entities at the back of the neighborhood have had to redrill their wells already, wells that were not even 10 years old at the time. And that's not an insignificant cost for a homeowner.
No, it's not.
Yeah, the cost of drilling a well has doubled in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm.
So,
are we looking to vote on this today, Doug?
Yes.
No. Okay. No, I don't.
Well, because I've heard they're still tweaking the agreements and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the resolutions and stuff.
Tracy, I do have one person online I think would like to ask a question.
Okay. If you can identify yourself, please, sir or ma'am.
Yeah, hi. My name is Andrea DeYoung, Parker County resident, well owner. I appreciate you guys letting us listen into this since I wasn't able to attend in person. So my question is, on Tuesday, Doug did an amazing job sort of describing the management of how large-scale needs get approved in Parker County right now and the other counties that you guys manage, right? There's the whole process, right? And I have the opportunity to fight that and do a lawsuit to prevent them from using more wells in large scale basis. This PUA, since it's legislative managed, I'm concerned that perhaps it's not going to have the same type of limitation on large scale water usage. Is that the case for Parker County then?
I think what we would see is that this would be an entity that brings surface water from outside of Parker County to Parker County for water users, whether that's commercial, residential, industrial, or, you know, higher education uses. This entity's primary and almost sole purpose is to bring water in and help get it distributed around the county.
Right.
So that largely, not necessarily directly, but so largely, we use less groundwater here. Now, if that's a manufacturer that comes or something else that comes, this entity will sell them water or sell water to one of the cities or someone else that would sell water to an HEB or to Weatherford College or UTA West.
Okay, got it. So we lose the opportunity to fight the data center issue from a water perspective with this PUA in Parker County then?
No, we don't lose our ability to do that. This entity is separate from that. This entity is strictly bringing water to the county and to the entities that are listed on the screen so that those entities can sell water to their community and provide water security for them.
And I will point out that there are industrial users that use as much or considerably more water than some of the open loop data centers that I've seen numbers on, specifically power plants, which are the electricity for your homes. And yes, this district has a tool to help determine whether that's just based on use of groundwater, that's sustainable or not. Obviously, entities, whether it's the city of Weatherford or the city of Fort Worth, they're in the job of selling water and returning enough investment to retire their debts and to minimize the rates to their customers.
And that's
and
beyond.
Provide long-term water.
And definitely provide long-term water security, which groundwater cannot do in Parker County,
right.
In my personal opinion.
If I may, and I think we've kind of strayed from the agenda item.
No.
So I just want to be mindful of that. You know, there are.
But I think I would.
The point of this entity is to reduce the need for groundwater in the future, right? And that's the sole purpose of this entity. I know there's a bunch of other hot issues that have come up very recently. None of that was in consideration when we've started this talk. The purpose of this entity is solely to reduce the demand on groundwater. The production of groundwater that is occurring in our district and especially in Parker County is not sustainable, and it's been unsustainable for a long time. And there is no other water in Parker County. The water's going to have to come from elsewhere. And the only way is, realistically speaking, right, in Texas, it's difficult for even a city the size of Weatherford to go get water and bring it from outside the area. You have to have the economies of scale. And so you have to have all these cities and entities coming together to have the political power to go and move that water in. So I understand your concern. I really do. But the sole purpose of this is to offset the demand and to subsidize the demand on groundwater. And I think I've told my board this before. Look, based on all the tools that we have that's given to us, our district, in Chapter 36 of the Water Code, all the things that we can enact and do, bringing surface water into the district is going to be more impactful than any regulatory thing that we can put in place, right? Just having a different source of water other than groundwater. And so that's the point of this. And I think that just to boil it down to a simple statement, the point of this is to bring water that's not groundwater into this area.
And can I add one more thing? Sure. You mentioned surface water, you know, coming from other areas. The surface water that's being served in Parker County right now is not coming from Parker County. So if you look at the Hudson Oaks and the Alito and et cetera, they're buying from Fort Worth. So that water is not coming from Parker County. So we're already there on that, but that will continue to grow.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Any other board members have any questions or comments? No, thank you very much, Jessica.
Go back to the public
hearing. Go back to the top of my agenda. And show them open the public hearing at 5:47. Receive any public comments, requests, contests, and the general manager's reports and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum track size requirements. 1A, applicant owner is Aqua Texas out of Granbury, system ID 009-H. Matt, is this you, sir?
I believe it is.
Doug? Yes,
yeah, we had to table this one last month. Aqua settled up with their penalties, so we can take action on this now. It's pretty straightforward. They're looking to add a well to their system. Again, I'm not going to go through it. They're not asking for much water. They're adding 25 connections. Looking at 500 gallons per day for each of those connections. About 4.5 million gallons per year is all they're looking to add to their permit. The issue that I have with this is just spacing, right? They have their CCN, this area that they own right here. Let me turn on my laser pointer. This tract that Aqua actually owns is outside the CCN but adjacent, right? So it's we include it in their contiguous controlled acreage, but it's just a little bit too small to meet all the spacing requirements. I'd like to see if they could wiggle it around, move it around some in there. If the board's going to approve the exception, I've got some stipulations on there that I'd recommend. I would like to see if there's any way they could wiggle it around anyway. You know, I understand it's a small amount of room, but, we've been pretty steadfast recently on our spacing, and I think it's important that we do that. However, like I said, I get the situation. Matt, you maybe correct me if I'm wrong. I'm guessing Aqua's had this piece of property for a while. They've probably got it. They probably already have a sanitary control easement around it because it's all on their property. That's why they're trying to control it. I get it. My only counter to that is, you know, whether or not they have a can get a sanitary control easement, does that give us – is that reason to bend our rules, right? That's all I have. If the board is going to entertain – I recommend approving the permit request and the volume. If the board wants to approve the exception, I've got some stipulations I think we should add. And I'm happy to answer any questions, and I'm sure Matt would love to answer some questions.
Matt, can you come forward?
yes, sir.
Just in case people online can hear you, Matt, because we do have several people online.
Doug, can we go back one exhibit?
You want to see the map?
I do. The yellow is the CCN?
Yes. Yeah. The yellow is the CCN, and then they own this property. You can see it's obviously contiguous to it.
Matt, if the increased volume is allowed, can you all serve the community with the wells you have currently?
The wells we have currently, I believe we can. Trey, who is the field supervisor here from Granbury, is more intimate with that system, but I believe we are not close to our historical use permit pumping on that system.
So this well that requires a variance is not necessarily necessary.
Is it to get you to 0.6 or is it?
I believe it's to get us from not being at the 85% rule in our 0.6.
Okay, so it is necessary. Yes. You can't serve your community without it.
The instantaneous capacity is necessary.
Correct, yes.
Can your other wells be increased in capacity so that this well wouldn't be necessary to meet that requirement?
That is a hydrogeologic question. I am not as familiar with those wells as I should be as far as specific capacity drawdown on those wells, so I don't know if they could support a higher yield on them. But I know right now we are maxing out the pumping equipment in there.
Kyle's shaking his head. It's unlikely.
As y'all know, aqua pumps their wells harder than most than you should. We uncover the top of the screen. We uncover lots of the screen, cause cascading waters, other problems. So if I were a betting man, I would say we probably could not, since we're after every single drop we can to maximize the yield of the aquifer there.
That's Matt, also Matt. Well,
predicting future wells.
Right. Mm-hmm. Matt, do you know how far off they are from 0.6? Like what kind of GPMs are you looking? I mean, what is necessary?
No, I can definitely get the board that information. I don't have that information with me today.
By chance, you know how many connections are in that system?
No, not at Mountain View. Sorry.
Well, is 10% less than 10% addition, or is it a 30% or?
Doug, the 150-foot, how low would the GPM on this well have to be to allow the spacing that is available on that lot?
You know, we don't – it goes from 17 to 30, right? So we jump up from 50 feet from the property line at 17 to 150.
17 would work.
17 would meet spacing. So if you notice in my – I put in here that if you were going to approve the exception to limit it to 25 gallons a minute, you know, that's not quite halfway between the two, but it gets back down. So in my mind, if we're at 50 feet from a property line at 17 gallons a minute, 150 at 30, dropping at 5 gallons a minute, if we really had a sliding scale, it would, because I think how far is it off? I mean, it's not far. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at 30 feet over. Give or take 25 to 30 feet. Yeah.
And the wells in the area that we've drilled recently can do up to 90 to 100 feet.
Yeah.
We're really drawing back to not infringe on the area.
I requested 30, so you're recommending back to 25.
Yeah, if they approve the exception, limit it back to 25. monitoring well agreement, which they've done with the other ones. Produce a geophysical log with several different tools. Provide that to us in a digital format so that we can actually use it in the future for model updates and whatnot. And then provide all pump test data from the well, including drawdown and recovery data.
Matt, as I remember, I believe you were here last month. No,
Matt was not here last month. Ross was here last month.
Ross was.
So we did bring this up last month, and we did talk about the proximity to the property line. Has Aqua or your engineer looked at moving the well, or is there any wiggle room at all?
We really haven't looked at moving the well because we do have that recorded sanitary control easement. We would like to keep it where it is. I think Ross may have. He's the design engineer on this.
Not infringe on the outstanding property that we're asking for exception. You're then moving the sanitary control easement completely over another property that is utilizing septic. So it's kind of a...
So let's make sure I'm looking, hearing correctly. To the northwest, there's septics on those property. There's septic systems on those lots.
Yeah. Are there septics to the south? Is there a reason we can't move the well to the south and not require a variance?
Yeah, CCN boundary.
Well, you're already outside the CCN boundary.
They're on their property, though. That would still be a spacing exception.
Right now, the well's outside of the CCN. So if you move it a little bit further south.
Right, but it's not an exception because we look at this. They own this, so and their contiguous controlled acreage goes right here like this. You know what I'm saying? So this isn't a property line spacing, but once you get over this line, gets over here, it is. So the only way they can move it to not be an exception is this direction, northwest. That's the only direction they can move it to not be an exception. I guess they could, basically just straight this direction. This way is the only way it would work. And that would probably, I don't know, I mean, they'd have to move it, probably about right here or so. So although it wouldn't be a spacing because they own this, what Ross is saying is there are septic systems over here, which would make it virtually impossible to get a sanitary control easement.
So we know we need more volume. We're fairly certain we need this well, but we don't know by how badly we need this well to meet the state's requirements.
Correct. So this well is actually a replacement well, but it doesn't meet the replacement well rules because the well at the water plant has been down for quite a while. So this well is really to replace that well without calling it a replacement well.
Why are they not? Are you guys not able to drill at the water plant?
So it this area is easier to drill.
But is it impossible?
Nothing's impossible if you have enough money.
Right. There you go.
Economic question.
An economic question. No, we're always looking for more water. The more wells that we can pump from lessens the area of influence.
But you're down by a well right now.
Down by a well right now, yes.
And you could drill at that site and not require a variance?
We could, yes.
Yeah.
Trey, I'm speaking correctly, right? Okay, just making sure.
Does the board have any other questions?
I was going to pull
If you did fix the other one, if you drilled there, how much would you be pulling out then?
Whatever the historical use permit is. And I'm sorry, I don't have that information.
So it would be obviously more of an impact than this one.
Well, I'm trying to see. Put it over here. Come on now. All right. Where is the one that's down? Drive me to it, Matt.
Knob Hill Drive up there.
Here?
Yes. At our main plant.
So one of these, which one?
Well, two. The furthest west.
This well's down?
Yes.
So you could come and drill a well right here to replace that one? Okay.
When you say it's down, what is the cause of that?
I believe it's casing. Is
the casing collapse?
Yes. So it's no longer worth trying to rehabilitate.
But a properly drilled well would potentially make the water you need there?
Yes. So the other thing, speaking hydrogeologically, is we have two other wells competing for that same water.
Yeah. Yeah. That,
hydrogeologically speaking, it would be better to get away from those other
wells. This is problematic. I mean, let's just be honest. Are all three of these about the same depth? I could look, but my eyes aren't what they used to be.
Yeah.
370. 5. So you're already competing with this well. If you drilled to that depth, and you in a shallow well would compete with this. So basically you have a twinned well site here, and you had a third well that was competing with this well here.
The bottom right one, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one and two.
Yeah, that well. That's right. Those two. Okay. That makes sense.
Talked about this last month. The applicant was aware we were hesitant about this and offering any variances, and we don't have any other solutions for this well, or for adding a well to the system. There's no other property, and there's no other options anywhere in the CCN.
Anywhere in the CCN? Ray, do you? I mean, I don't know any off the top of my head of any owned aqua property within this water system that does not already have a well on it.
And you can't tell us the minimum gallons per minute that would be acceptable to operate this well and help the system?
No, not at this time. I can definitely provide that to Doug, who can disseminate it to the board.
Are there other wells in the system other than those three up there that Doug showed us?
Yes.
Are they all high-low twinned? Are they all...
No, they're all drilled through the entire aquifer. They're
all deep.
Yeah, they're all deep.
They're all to the base.
And they're screened all the way.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
and it takes care of that.
Are these all pretty old wells?
Depends on what you define old. Am I old?
We're not talking about
Are they older than older than you and I, Matt?
They're probably right about our age. Yes, old.
Is this a system that Aqua and purchased? Or is it one that y'all developed?
21 years that I've been involved with Aqua, they have always had this system. Previous to that, I am unaware.
Okay.
I think we have two issues on the table, correct, Doug?
Yep.
You recommended approving the additional allocation, correct?
Correct. Recommend approval of the permit, which is, you know, the volume, and then adding the well to the permit, and then the exception is the second item. So my recommendation is approval of the permit. The question is the exception.
Is this a situation where you could approve the volume and table everything else until Aqua does their homework?
I can do that.
If you can, I don't have a problem doing that. Make sure we'll be explicit what homework we want done.
We would like a well that doesn't require variance.
Okay.
And they have a CCN they can look in.
Or can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
I should be more familiar with this, so I apologize to the board and Doug. Is the spacing variance to the right-of-way on the cul-de-sac?
It is to the cul-de-sac, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if y'all bought the cul-de-sac back from the county, you'd be good.
Right. So I know previously you've allowed us to use right-of-way as part of our buffer.
I think it was within the CCN, though, when we did that.
Okay.
It was within, remember, because it was at that other, yes. I know for, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if the PUC would let you amend your CCN to take in a cul-de-sac or your property.
Well, I mean, you need to amend it anyway to take in that subdivision.
Right. Where is the subdivision going to be located?
It's those 25 where it...
This up here?
Yes.
Okay.
think so, that would resolve your issue.
So if you amend the CCN, then it's not a spacing issue. Have y'all started the process?
No, we have not. We are in the process of, you know, with the large turnover at Aqua.
Right.
We are putting those steps in. Yes. In the process of starting the process. That's a good one, Shannon. But we have a different mentality where we are requiring developers before we serve them, they must amend our CCN, where that has not been the practice in the past, and it puts us in these situations.
So houses going on this lot once this well's drilled?
No, the lot's completely aqueous.
But just to the southwest of it? Yeah, the opposite sides of the roadway going into the cul-de-sac.
Yes, I believe so.
So the houses will probably go all the way up to right here, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's correct. Saw the cul-de-sac off and be done with it.
I mean, how soon before you guys anticipate submitting an application to amend your CCN?
Process of the process.
Well, and I ask that because I would feel a lot more comfortable recommending approval to the board if y'all had started that process, if you're about to submit that CCN change.
So we have not started that process. I'll be totally honest with y'all.
Okay.
But it is something that I am trying to change at Aqua.
Okay.
Because we have terrible CCN across, as Doug knows.
Right.
That causes y'all tons of problems, lots of headaches.
Not on this.
Right. Yeah.
Matt, if y'all were to receive full approval for what you requested today, when is that well going to go in the ground?
Next year.
Okay. If you started the process of getting the CCN, when would that likely be online, the new CCN?
As far as approved by the PUC?
Yep.
Typically, it's been 12 to 16 months.
They take a while.
They take a long
time. The PUC takes a while.
It is an arduous task.
Could this be approved as he's requested without your variance items that you suggested, but the well cannot be drilled until the PUC approves the new CCN?
I mean, y'all could put that kind of stipulation on it.
Matt, is that something that you could live with?
So you're saying we would not be able to drill the well until the PUC had amended the CCN?
And you wouldn't be in variance. What would need to require a variance? What it would give you is the volume you're requesting today.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they need the volume as much as they need the well.
Does that mean we don't have to give them the volume?
We don't. I mean, technically. I mean, part of it is it's an issue, Matt, right?
Because I would like to find a yes for you without a variance.
Right.
I think. Hear me out. Because I do know, and I'm PUC can take a while, right? If we all know, right, they'll go back and forth with the PUC. But if they're looking to amend their CCN to bring in an actual service area, it's going to get approved. I would feel better if we waited until they submitted an application.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I was going to ask that alternative is instead of waiting on the PUC, if they've submitted the final application.
Right. So what we could do is you could approve the permit and you could conditionally approve the well and direct me to wait until they submit the applications to the PUC to sign the well registration, which then authorizes them to drill the well. That kind of lights a fire under them to get, you know, to get that in. If they need the well drilled next year, then they've got several months to get that together and submit that application to the PUC.
Doug, do you have any considerations on your recommendation that if we think by the time all this is going, the variance wouldn't be needed because the CCN now encapsulates this cul-de-sac and we're good? Do we still need to – would you still recommend reducing the 25 gallons?
At that time it meets spacing. It meets – once the CCN's amended, it meets spacing requirements.
Okay. But you would like the rest of the
items,
since it would be a variance to grant it as we were proposing.
Right.
Because when they drilled it, they still wouldn't have a CCN in that area.
This guy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean
– I was thinking the same thing.
No, I mean, technically, I mean – I mean, does that? I mean, it gets you guys where you need to go. right? And if you're looking at drilling the well next year, mm-hmm. I mean, I would hope that y'all could get the applications at least submitted to the PUC in that time. And then once it's submitted, then I sign the application here. Okay. You're good to go.
What about just hear me out here. What if the board was gracious enough to approve under Doug's recommendation, and then when we did get the CCN finalized, we could come in and reapply for that full 30.
Well, no.
No.
I think I'm
just
looking.
Just said if you're going to, if once you've applied for the CCN, he has no problem with the 30.
Okay.
So the motion I was looking at making is we approve the volume, we approve the well. Well can't be drilled until the CCN application is turned in, at which point it would be the full 30 gallons a minute. And the rest of Doug's request for the exception.
Okay.
And that means as soon as you guys turn it in, you can turn in the well application and drill the well.
One thing I would ask is a clarification on turned in. Is it
administratively
or administratively complete? Sorry.
It's going to be to the satisfaction of Doug.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that fair, Doug?
Yeah. I'm not that difficult.
I know you're not.
Did you make that as a motion?
No, I was saying the motion I would make. I would like to make that motion that I just put.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
And you have all
my. In order for time, I will second.
Oh, her Christmas present.
I'll second that motion. if she can write it down.
She has it recorded.
I know she's got it recorded, but she has to go back and listen to the whole tape again to get to it.
Uh-huh.
That motion by Director Nave, second by Director Micah, to approve the general manager's recommendation as to the permit request and a conditional approval of the exception. Are there any other questions or comments from the board?
Subject.
His motion includes conditional approval subject to filing
a complete.
To the satisfaction.
Filing an application with the PUC to add to their CCN to the satisfaction of the general manager.
That is what I said. Verbatim.
Verbatim.
He's over here writing law on me. I mean, I've got an engineer over here. I mean, give me a break.
I did just realize you have an engineer on one side and a lawyer on the other, Tracy. It's never dawned on me.
We all have our own.
I have known him for a long, long, long time.
Doug, we all have our own private hells.
Any other further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. You're off the hot seat, man.
Yes.
Item 1B, the City of Rome, 501 South Main Street, Rome. Operating permit amendment for system ID 015-W. Doug?
Yes, sir. Rome came in, last year sometime, several applications. We worked through some stuff, got what they needed approved. They are looking to move one of the wells that we have, that's already approved. They're looking to move it 82 feet. It was approved here. They're looking to move it up here. It's still well within their CCN. No other issues. Not creating an exception. It's just ease of access. They've purchased this property. The only thing I want to point out to the board is when the City of Rome purchased this property, the deed, or should I say the memorandum of agreement, which is part of the deed, incorporated into the deed, has this language. Basically says that the city can't do anything but put a elevated storage tank or put some towers or communication equipment.
Or equipment that serves directly to them.
Right, or that. Brian and I talked about this. I think it's important. My recommendation's approval of the request, but I think it's important that our motion does state that we make no determination on whether there are any legal prohibitions to the drilling of the well that may be enforced by third persons. Brian helped me put that together, and it's because of the uncertainty of that deed. But other than that, as far as our requirements go, they're just wanting to move it out here, which is a little bit easier to get to away from their plant.
Okay.
Who's the grantor on the deed?
The grantor is J.E. Norman.
Okay, is he still alive?
I believe I spoke with Mr. Norman the other day. I spoke with Mr. Norman's son. Okay, so Mr. Norman may not be it. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because the gentleman I spoke to was older, so I spoke to Mr. Norman's son.
But it's not beholden on us to make that determination, nor is our decision connected to it in any way.
I think it's just important, and Brian felt that it was just important that if we approve this, that the motion does identify the issue and say that we're not making any determination about that.
Let me see if I can summarize. General Manager's recommendation is to approve the amendment to relocate the approved well to a new proposed location, which is approximately 100 feet north of the currently approved location. The district makes no determination on whether there are any legal prohibitions to the drilling of the well on the property that may be enforced against the city by any third person. Is that your motion, Doug?
That's my recommendation.
That's your recommendation, rather?
Yes, sir.
So move.
Got a motion from Shannon. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
A second from Director Bradley. Do I hear a second? All right, we got a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C, Rolling V Ranch, WCID number 3 of Wise County, headquartered out of Dallas, operating permit amendment, system ID 202-W. Doug?
Yes, sir. This is a replacement well. We got an application early May to drill a replacement well. Apparently, part of the excavation crew ran over or damaged an existing well. It was an old well that's used for irrigation and stuff there in the development. They're simply looking to replace that well that was damaged. It was damaged beyond repair. Replacement rules require that a replacement well is less than or equal to the flow rate. They're proposing that. It's within 50 feet. It's 48 feet away. It's just a simple replacement well. They're not seeking any additional permit volume, anything else, just looking to drill a replacement well. My recommendation is approval as presented.
I make the motion. So General Manager's recommendation.
Hear a motion from Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Flint. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 1D, Infol Inc. out of Millsap, operating permit 220-P. Doug?
Yes, sir. This is a commercial facility. It's a horse breeding operation. They have operate one well. It's not enough water. That one well is, 10 gallons a minute, so it wasn't obvious below the 17-gallon-a-minute threshold for exemption. They're looking to add two 10-gallon-a-minute wells to the system, which would bring it over that threshold, making it a non-exempt commercial system. Both wells meet spacing requirements. You can see it for a 10-gallon-a-minute well, it's going to be 50 foot from property line, 150 foot from another well. They've spaced the two wells 150 feet away. They're out. They're nowhere close to their property lines. There's one well. Here's the other one. You see, here's their original well. So they're just lining their wells up right here along with their infrastructure. But they're spaced out. They meet our requirements. As far as permit volume goes, based on district allocation, they're eligible for about 6.5 million gallons per year. It's based on 131 acres, 108 feet of aquifer thickness. They're looking to drill 100 feet. This is out Millsap. Aquifer's pinching out. It's very thin, not very productive. 10 gallons a minute is probably about as much as they're going to get. They're asking for 6 million gallons a day. That's based – say what?
A year.
A year. 6 million a year, not a day. I apologize. That's a big difference.
Not a day.
That's based on 25 gallons of water per day for 700 horses for the year. And my recommendation is approval as submitted.
Is there a representative here today?
I don't believe there's anyone here or online. They're not, again, Not asking for any spacing exceptions. Just
can we go back to the aerial?
This one?
Seems like they have a fairly good sized aquarium.
Arena? Barn? Yeah, they've got a big barn, and then so all this area is just like pens.
Almost seems like they'd be a good candidate for a rainwater harvesting facility.
Might be. It's private entity though. But yeah.
I'm not saying a grant. I'm just saying that if they did that, they would use less groundwater.
They could catch a lot of water. I think did we mention that? Did we talk about that? Because when we were talking with the doctor that runs the place, we actually talked about rainwater because we were talking about how there's not very much water out there.
There's not much water out there, and there will be even less.
Right.
Your recommendation is to approve?
Yes, sir.
I'll so move. To approve.
A second.
Motion by Director Bradley, a second by Director Nave. Do I hear any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 1E, Turner.
One second.
Beg your pardon, yes.
Jill, can we reach out to that owner and talk to them more about rainwater harvesting, not a grant, but just in process, and the example of the Parker County Arena and what they do with that water so that they can use less water? Thank you, ma'am.
Tracy, on this one, on E.
Yes.
My recommendation is going to be to table it because we've asked for additional information and they hadn't got it back to us. Do you want me to go through it anyway or do you just want to table it and continue it?
I do because there may be additional information we'd like in addition to what you have.
Perfect. I will go through it.
This may be the start of the start of the process.
Start of the start. Got it. It's a commercial facility, Rome area of Wise County. They have an existing well. Looking to drill a second well, which pushes them into the above the 17-gallon a minute threshold for exempt status, so they have to get a permit, which is why we're here. They're looking to drill a 17-gallon a minute well. It meets all of our spacing requirements. There's a plugged well on the site, but it's plugged. It's under pavement now. As far as allocation goes,
the well to the north.
That is the other well in the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. This and then this well does not exist right here. They've got almost 72 acres, average aquifer thickness 681 feet. They're drilling to 550. They could get up to almost 20 million gallons a year. They're asking for 9.8. Their request is based on filling a 4,000 gallon truck 6 times a day, 365 days a year. With a buffer of just over 1 million gallons. We've asked what the truckloads of water will be used for. And also we asked about the actual production at the facility. It's a concrete, some sort of concrete product production. We asked where the water is for that because their only justification was they're filling trucks. So we asked where's the water coming for what they produce and bathrooms and stuff. We asked about a week and a half ago, and we have not received a response. Annabelle sent several emails and made several calls. My recommendation's tabling it until they get that information to us, because just filling up trucks, I mean.
They're going to fill up 16,000 gallons of a truck on Christmas Day.
Right, I guess so.
Okay.
But I mean.
Not in leap year.
But, you know, I think my question really goes into, like, how are they producing or anything inside the facility? Just if they're just saying they're just filling up trucks with these water. So we've asked for information. They have not gotten back to us. So my recommendation is just table it.
I move we table it.
You've got a motion from Director Nave to table. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Second, Director Micah. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
We want to take a break.
And I'm going to show we're in the public hearing at 6:24, and let's take a 10-minute break. Had a request to take a 10-minute break. Let me rephrase that.
All right.
Call meeting back to order. Show at 6:34. Consent agenda is routine and non-controversial items. Any board member can pull any of the items off the agenda to be discussed and handled separately. This month's consent agenda includes approval of minutes from the hearing and record of board meeting on May 18th, approval of bank statement ending May 29th, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through June 11th,
reimbursement for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through June 11th, and approval of request for extension application to submit through June 11th. Need to put anything aside? Got an additional bill?
I have an expense report from Director Micah for $127.60.
Need to add that to the approval of fine bills and invoices. Chair, to entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll make that.
Make a motion.
I got a motion from Director Berkeley. I got a second from Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot as nothing was pulled out separately. Discussion and possible action regarding the district's annual rainwater harvesting grant program, including but not limited to recommendations from the special committee, and authorizing the general manager to negotiate and execute contracts on behalf of the district and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. So we only got four applications this year, one from the Brock Dennis Fire Department, Central Community Fire Department, City of New Fairview, and Monte County. And I'll talk a little bit about each of them second. I wanted to show you this. If y'all can see it, this is a map staff put together. This shows the locations of all our existing rainwater harvesting systems. And so then we'll add to it. It's nice to be able to, you know, visually see, you know, where they all are.
You know, Doug, for those that have multiple grants, shouldn't we have a bigger raindrop?
Maybe we should. Maybe it could be like a lightning bolt, like a storm cloud or something there, you know, like a heavy, like a thunderstorm.
I'm just thinking Precinct 3 and the
Sheriff's Posse. Yeah.
Yep.
So on Tuesday, the committee made up Director Micah, Director Lust, Director Nave, and Director Berkeley. And then myself, Jill, and Kyle met with the applicants, interviewed them. They were all really good, some really good projects. Montague County, Precinct 4, it's a project to put a 65,000-gallon tank there at their barn to offset the demand from their water well. City of New Fairview, so New Fairview, we have two grants there. This would be their third. They're all pretty small comparatively. The first one was they converted an existing storage tank, correct, and then they added another tank to a rainwater system. Second grant was at their at the city park over the pavilion. They're collecting water, and they use it for, right, correct, for irrigation there. And now they're looking to come back. So the first one, they only catch water off. So at their city hall, they have another facility that is where the fire department is, I guess. It's what, four bays, I think. So it's, they got the fire trucks in there. They only catch water off the front half of the building. So now they're proposing to add a second tank and catch water off the back half of the building. They're hauling water from these rainwater tanks to other tanks to use for stuff, so they can make room in their rainwater tanks to fill them back up. They're really invested into this. And then Central Community Fire Department, that was one of our first grants, the first cycle of the actual grant program. We funded there. It's there at their fire department. They use it to fill trucks. And training, they have a lot of trainings there, and they actually spray the water back on the roof so they can re-catch the water. What was it? They used 365,000 gallons since they put in that tank out of that system. They have all kinds of training at that facility. And then Brock Dennis Volunteer Fire Department, you know, basically they were looking at putting a tank on an HOA lot in a subdivision. They didn't really have a roof to catch water off of. They were just looking to catch roof off the tank, which would have taken like 3 years to fill up. And then they were actually proposing to pump groundwater into the tank. So, and it was on a private lot, so it technically, legally, wasn't something we could fund. The other three were all very good projects. I think the committee's recommendation is to award grant funds to Central Community Fire Department, City of New Fairview, and Montague County Precinct 4 in an amount totaling $124,000, and then authorize me to execute the agreements on behalf of the district. And I'm happy to answer any questions or any of the committee members want to add anything.
I do.
I think Bob does.
Yes, sir.
Oh, for the Montague County Precinct 4, I made four phone calls and got four donations for them.
That's awesome.
So I don't know how to do that. should they write a check to the fire department, the fire department contribute it to the county commissioner, or how should that work?
So we'll work out the logistics of that. So then that's one of the reasons I put a award and an amount not to exceed, because if they get some outside funds, then that would be less of a pull they're asking from us.
Maybe they publicize it in the newspaper in the county somewhere.
Maybe if there's you have to know a newspaper man.
I'll call him and ask him how he saw his price of that.
Okay, you know what? I'll tell you who did the donation.
Okay, that's fine. I'll call Bob after the meeting.
Yep.
He asked me about it Monday.
Yeah.
So
if the committee has any other comments or
on Brock Dennis, they were obviously one of the lower scoring entities. And their project was basically they were going to use the roof of the rainwater harvesting tank to collect the water. That wasn't going to work. I think it's easy for us to see that it's not necessarily our job, but it would be a desirable effect to have what I'd like to call a bucket brigade throughout the counties of pockets of water or buckets of water where volunteer fire departments or ESDs can know they have a place they can go and pick up water. What Brock was looking at wasn't going to do much for them, but what they do have not far away from that is one of the Brock ISD buildings, and there's other entities throughout the county. And I would like to encourage Jill to reach out to the Brock Dennis VFD, let them know why they fell short and why they weren't able to do it. But if they came back next year and they had an entity such as an ISD that had a roof that could fill that up and they knew they had a place they could go and pick up water, that's something we would be much more keen to help support. All right. So I think there's that, and I think there's other opportunities as we continue to do outreach for other ISDs and other entities that can help be a part of the bucket brigade,
right,
and have water pockets throughout the county.
Right. And I think that's a great idea, you know, and I think Central Community Fire Department's a great example. But you're right. There are areas where there's just not water accessible. You know, the last one we funded for Precinct 3 in Parker County, they actually went a little bit above and beyond so they could really draw off the tank from the fire trucks. I think it's a great idea. And I think one other thing to think about this map is everywhere there's one of these, there's a giant tank with our logo real big on it and a sign out in front of it that has all kinds of information about how easy it is to catch water off your roof to use. So it's the more of these we get out there, it's just the more awareness people are going to have of us and what we do.
So one of the couples that was here that left early, halfway through the meeting, that's one of the questions they had, and Jill was able to talk to them about some of the ways they could have that, because they said in their Wise County, their wells don't always produce what they need. They get a lot of sand. This could be something for them.
Right.
But I think if we were able to bring in something like an ISD into this, they could do education on for the kids, as well as use some of the water for school irrigation, and then still have enough fire suppression water available for the
right
for the various fire departments.
I am hopeful. I know, you know, the only ISD we funded is Slidell, but the time we funded that Slidell superintendent is now a superintendent in Decatur, so maybe we can get I think Decatur ISDs might be a next ISD to come forward. So,
if on the same subject, Jill, if you'd send me some photographs of what Central did, I can think of two of those small school districts in Montague County that might be a possibility, and one of them being Stoneburg, which is Doug and Kyle tell you there ain't no water out there.
No.
So
there's not.
It should be noted that some of them are reporting to us on how much water they are harvesting so that we'll be able to indicate how much water has been saved. And I think that's very important.
Yeah,
I agree. Yep. Any other questions, guys?
We're looking for a motion.
Looking for a motion.
I make a motion to follow the general manager's recommendation.
I'll second that. Motion from Director Nave, second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 5, continuation from the May meeting of discussion and possible action regarding well ID 23968, which will be located on Lot 50, Block 16, Unit 3 of Satellite City in Wise County, submitted by Alar Salami and the HB Group, LLC. Doug?
Yes, sir. So this is a continuation from last month, and I'll kind of go through it quickly, but staff's done some digging, you know, to find out some more information. We talked to the applicant briefly. This is a satellite city. We've talked about it. Satellite city was platted back in the 70s. When it was platted, it was supposed to have public water supply. It was supposed to have wastewater treatment. You know, if you look at the original plat, you can see the wastewater site on the plat. They drilled some public water supply wells back in the 70s. It just sat there. It was never intended to have a private well and septic at every lot out there. Move forward to about 2016. Started with a realtor out of Denton. Started buying some lots out there. Meeting with the county judge and the commissioner. They'd asked to make sure everything out there met all of our spacing requirements. That realtor was putting two lots together. These are quarter acre lots mostly, putting two lots together so that everything would meet spacing. So far out there, everything that has come through this office has met the 50 foot off property line spacing, 150 foot from another well, or they meet the vertical offset if they've had to drill deeper because they couldn't meet 150 foot. The item was tabled last month. We reached out to the applicant. His response was that the well was for a primary residence for a customer of theirs. So I believe Kyle's done some more looking. It looks like they're looking to sell the property to someone once there's a home built or placed on it. The applicant's address, Kyle did some looking, came up in Las Vegas. That site, when you do a Google Street View, that is a physicaladdress.com is the name of the address, is the business where that address takes you. That's just a company that offers a physical address for people. The HB Group, you know, we found somebody with a similar last name that was related to offersforland.com. So obviously, you know, it's real estate, realtors, they're looking to sell property. Atlas Homes, the address listed on the application is connected with Atlas Homes. You know, they sell mobile home and land in the district. Top-notch homes paid the invoice. You know, they're a mobile home manufacturer. So all this goes to say it appears that the HB Group, Mr. Salami, have purchased the property to likely build a home or place a mobile home on this to ultimately sell to a client or a customer of theirs. Back to district rules, although it was platted prior to 2009, district rules say it still must comply with the minimum spacing. And then it goes back to, you know, it's also mindful to look at, you know, they've got to fit a septic on this lot somewhere, right? And it's got, and that septic has to be 50 foot away from that well. So somewhere over here, they got to fit a septic. Get back through all this. I did meet with, on a different topic, I met with the county judge in Wise County, J.D. Clark, the other day. I did mention this to him, and, you know, he was very supportive. He understood. He was like, look, he understood, right? There were never supposed to be wells and septics on every quarter acre out there. It's going to be a contamination problem in the future. Let's just be honest, right? You put a septic, that many septics and that many wells, that tight, it's going to eventually be a problem. So because of that, my recommendation, you know, if we're going to approve this, and, you know, I think we have to put some stipulations on it to make sure there's safety. You know, originally I'd said drill to the base of the aquifer 700 feet. I did remove that recommendation, but I am still recommending that they pressure cement down to 400 feet, which is basically theoretically about where the Twin Mountains or the Trinity starts. Not to use an alternative surface completion, so they got to do a full surface completion with the, you know, with the slab. They must do an open hole geophysical log to determine the completion of the well, and at a minimum, they've got to do a a shallow and deep curve. Where am I doing? The resistivity curve. Sorry, I lost my space. Spontaneous SP log, a gamma log, and a caliper log. And the applicant must submit those logs to us in a digital format and enter into an agreement for the ongoing measurement of water wells in there and then limit the well to 5 gallons a minute. I'm happy to answer any question. I believe Mr. Salami is online if there are any questions.
Ultimately, though,
Hey, my name is Eliar Salami. Can you hear me?
Yes, 1 second, sir. Please give my board an opportunity to ask questions.
So, Doug, ultimately, though, your recommendation is denial?
No, I think my recommendation's approval, but it's with all of those stipulations. I think if we're going to approve something like this in a situation where, we've got just, look, it was never meant to have all those wells out there and all those septics. And if we're going to allow somebody to put a well, I'm going to go back to this picture. If we approve this, then on this 0.75 acres, there's going to be three wells and three septics at some point in time. On 0.75 acres, on three wells and three septics. That's crazy.
I think one thing to bear in mind is if this was approved today, it sets a precedent for Satellite City and the district as a whole.
And well, in that specifically Satellite City, right? This is a very unique situation within the district, right?
Well, we goes have back to situations from the Brazos to the Red River.
We do. Yeah. We do. This one, I would say, this is one that, we've worked very hard just working with, trying to help the county commissioners. But ultimately, my concern is, just the safety, right? The not contaminating the aquifer out there, right?
I made this comment last time. This is not unique.
Right.
On my desk, literally as we speak, there is a deserted town in Wise County. My deceased client has 20 tracts. Many, many of them are quarter-acre tracts, half-acre tracts that he's bought over the last few decades. This is going to be the same problem at that location.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the precedent is what we all have to be worried about.
I agree.
I think, what you brought up, Doug, safety, the contamination of the aquifer that would impact many, many people.
Right.
As well as the precedent of approving this is what concerns me.
Right. No, it's problematic. But ultimately, I don't know. Like I said, in going back and forth and talking with Brian, and Brian's not on tonight. He's at another meeting. We have, Brad with him's firm online. But most of my discussion has been with Brian. And Brian and I landed on the – on those stipulations, but I mean, it's up to the board what y'all want to do. Look, Satellite City is a concerning situation, right? I mean, and other ones like the situation you described, Mike. I mean, we have a 2 acre track size for a reason, right? And it's not just it's safety. It's preserving the aquifer.
And it's as big as we could go at the time.
Right. And the idea of this is just it's problematic in so many ways, right?
And we have pre-existing conditions probably on every lake in the district because the lakeside developments were all small,
right?
10,000 square feet and less.
Yeah, most of the lakes have public water except for the ones in Montague and because actually I think all the other lakes have public water.
You got Amon G. Carter and Lexington.
Amon Carter and Nakona.
Uh-huh. And those were all platted in the 70s and 60s.
Correct.
So they're definitely much smaller.
Right.
And as Mike pointed out, we've got a bunch of abandoned town sites. Those plats are on the books. They've been there for 100 years.
I mean, Ringgold.
Yeah, well, yeah. What's left of it?
Right. The lines are still there.
The lines are still there. Any other board members have a question, General Manager?
The applicant is here.
He is. Mr. Salami, I'm the board president.
You've heard the general manager's recommendations. You have any comments or anything you wish to add?
Actually, based on my research, I think that rules is after 2009. Is that correct?
That tract of land is grandfathered because it was planted prior to 2009. Otherwise, it would, under our rules, it would require a 2-acre tract, 8 times the size what you have, to be able to have provide sufficient water for a home and put a septic system in place.
And I would say 4.6C says the well must nonetheless meet the minimum well spacing requirements that exist on the property. You know, it says I may approve an additional location if there's not a location that meets spacing requirements. Again, that's a may. And it's ultimately the rule says, he's right, it says 2009, but it does say must nonetheless comply with the minimum well spacing requirements. And then I just chose, because the satellite city is such a special situation that, you know, county leadership has asked, please, please enforce your spacing at this location. You know, that's why I came up with the recommendation, right? Yes, there is no other water out there. And if we're going to let them drill a well, we need to make sure that it's a well that is protecting the aquifer as well as it can.
And Mr. Salami, what he's referring to there is protecting the aquifer from contamination from the surface, worst case scenario, from a septic system that might be leaking, because all sort would mess up the entire aquifer for the neighborhood.
Tracy, may I ask a question?
Certainly.
Mr. Salami, have you attained a septic permit from the county?
Actually, our agent, because one agent tried to have to fill application and do everything. I'm not exactly familiar with anything they've done, but I think they applied for septic as well. And I saw their plan, looks like they want to put the well in front of the property, and in the back side is their septic drainage, their septic field.
So if I understand you correctly, they want to move the well even further forward so that they can have septic in the back. That's what
something
I just heard.
Something like that, to have enough space for make them
So the location that was submitted to us is not even where you would really like to drill the well.
I think it's not front of me. I think one time I saw their plan, their suggested plan was, I think it was they put a septic in the back of the property. I don't remember where they planned to put well, but I remember they planned for septic in the back side of lot. And also, there is no other way for us to get water.
I mean, you could haul water. I mean, a lot of people haul water in, right? Put a storage tank in and haul in water.
Or another option would potentially be work with a neighbor and have a common well.
Right. See if you get together with the neighboring landowner and see if you could have and share a well between the two. So there are other options. It's not that that's the only source. There are a lot of folks that do haul in water. And you could very, very much so, you know, try to get with a neighbor and get an agreement with them to share the well. That way, if they ever build a house, you could utilize, both parties could utilize the well. So there are other options.
That's good option. But if I want to go back to the neighbors, it's very easily possible they won't accept. But I can have written agreement. If I get permit, I share, for example, my well with two left and right properties to make sure you don't have three well in this small part. I get one well, and share with two neighbors, neighboring left and right, if that's possible.
Yeah, so
you own those lots next to you?
No.
No. I'm not, I don't own them, but I can put it in writing. If they are, they come to you and want to well, I provide them water. That means you give me the permission and I promise I give them the water. That way in this almost 0.75, you have just one well for all three lots. Because same situation is for others as well.
That would be ideal, but the downside of that is, you know, Mr. Salami may agree to that, but those two landowners may not want that. Does that make sense? Just because he's agreeing to provide them water, they may still want to drill their own well.
I would think there would have to be an agreement in place before we'd issue the permit.
There would have to, but there would, in that situation, I would, to make me feel better, I would want an agreement between both parties, right?
All involved parties, right. However many there are.
Right, before we took action, right.
Doug, if they're going to move this thing forward to try to get that septic in the back, isn't this thing fixing to be out of line anyway?
I mean,
see exactly where this well is going. Even if we approve it, we still don't know where it's going.
Well, when we approve it, they have to drill it where we approve it. And so that's why I asked, is like, are they not even wanting to drill it there? Are they going to come back and try to move it if we do approve it? And, you know, Kyle brought up a good question, like, are they going to seek an exception from TDLR to get closer than 50 feet from the septic? Because
how deep is that lot, Kyle? Do you remember?
It's 100 feet. So it's 50 by 100, I think. It might be 50 by 75, or it might be 50 by 80. I mean,
looks like it's 50 by 75.
It looks like, yeah, that's about what it looks like.
So Wise doesn't control that, the septic?
They do, but they would have, for the well, they would have to have an exception from TDLR to encroach upon a source of contamination being the septic.
Right, but I'm saying, that's what I'm saying, but the septic wouldn't be allowed if it's 100 foot in Wise County, correct?
It's 50. It's up to 50, right? I don't know what Wise County specifics are. That's state requirements, correct, Jason? 50?
100 foot, isn't it?
150, it can encroach up to 50 if it's pressure cemented.
Yeah, there's a formula, I think, for encroaching.
There is.
The height of the pressure cement to encroach so many feet on,
yep,
on the concentrated source of contamination, I think, is the wording.
Yep, there is. That is. That's correct. I think Kyle was just talking to Chris about that today. And so
here's his phone number if you've got it.
You got it.
We do have it. He's hard to get hold of.
Yes, he is.
This is a current picture. There's no houses next door or anything.
No, sir. There's nothing except just to the south.
Just the south.
Yes, sir.
Is that a motion? That's a move. I have a motion for Director Berkeley to deny the variance.
Second.
I have a second by Director Nave. Any further discussion from the board? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Request for variance is denied. Item number six, discussion regarding potential settlement agreement with the Slidell Water Supply Corporation relating to a violation for pumping groundwater in excess of the authorized amount in 2025. Include authorizing the general manager to negotiate and execute an agreement on behalf of the district.
Yes, sir. This is pretty straightforward. We sent out the letters late April for all the folks that overpumped their permit. Of course, everybody settled up, accepted the settlement offers, settled up, except Slidell Water Supply Corporation. Slidell WSC is a really small water provider up northeast Wise County. Right now, they operate one well, and that well is down, and they're buying water from Bolivar Water Supply Corporation to then pass through and sell to their customers. So their cash flow is a little bit reduced. And Sharon, that's her name, correct? Sharon, who owns the WSC, expressed that, you know, she accepts the offer, but she can't make that payment to us right now. And she would like to enter into an agreement to pay it off over time. It's $1,400 is the penalties total. So, you know, I went back and forth with her. We've had settlement payment options in the past. I took one of those. I drafted it up, changed everything for Slidell, the numbers. I am proposing $100 per quarter, but even that might be a little bit much. So my recommendation is to approve the draft settlement agreement and authorize me to continue to negotiate that settlement on behalf of the district and execute it, but negotiate to a point where the total $1,400 will be paid off in no later than January 1st, 2032, which gives her 5 full years after this. So 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. Gives her 5 full years to pay it off. And
any interest on this?
No, sir. We've never put any interest on anything. But
how many connections do they have, Doug?
Do you know, Kyle? It's not many.
It's not that many. I don't know if
it's not even they don't even have a CCN. It's a, you know, I forget the term. You know, just facilities and
how many houses do they serve?
It's less than 100.
Do they not have the school district?
I don't believe they serve.
I think Bolivar serves.
Bolivar serves the school district, I believe. Bolivar serves most around them.
Yes.
And then, but like, this is like, I guess, the older part of Slidell.
They serve Slidell, the city.
I believe so, yes, sir. But it's not the city. The city doesn't operate their own water. It's a water service corporation. It's a very small WSC.
I have two questions, Doug.
Yes, sir.
Are they going to try to get their existing well back up and functioning?
That is the plan.
And are they going to go to the PUC for a rate increase to recover some of their costs? Because I presume buying water from Bolivar is costing them more than operating their own wells.
Probably so. I don't think they're going to. She didn't mention anything about going to the PUC.
Are they under the PUC if they don't have a CCN?
They do have a CCN. They just don't have a boundary CCN. It's called a system facility and something only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus
200 feet. Yeah, facilities plus. They can basically, wherever their lines are, they can serve like 200 feet off that.
The gas company with the blanket gas easement.
Yeah, kind of like that.
But they still have to go through the state to further rate structure.
Well now.
Yeah, their well is down.
The point I'm making is if they do go to PUC for a rate increase, then they should accelerate the payment to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But I mean, you know, it takes a while. I mean, it might be 5 years.
Yeah, I got granted.
No. Well, I make a motion that we approve the draft settlement agreement and authorize the general manager to negotiate the settlement.
Do you hear a second?
I second that.
Got a second by Director Bradley. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
We could talk about it all night long.
We could talk about it all night long. We don't need to. Management report, Doug.
Nothing outstanding. Next month, we will be holding a hearing to adopt proposed DFCs. So I've got to get notice. Ann's got to make me remember not to forget to post notice 20 days, but we'll have a DFC hearing in July. That's about it. We'll have some more rules discussion in July. I'll probably be seeking authorization to post notice and publish for that.
What's the timetable on that? Then have a public hearing in August?
That's the goal.
And adopt in August?
Potentially.
Okay.
We have received our first, you know, we've had a lot of conversations. People last year about, you know, data centers, and I'm not pointing them out, but they're very contentious, right? And we have received the first application for one. It's not complete yet. Kyle's going through and reviewing it. So that'll be scheduled in the near future. I fully expect, you know, several people here on that. So just FYI, that's why I'm letting y'all know.
Is it over 50?
It's not. It's their request is small.
Okay.
We're trying to work through this the speculative nature of it. How many acres?
600.
What's the ballpark of the request?
They're only asking for 9.125 million gallons.
So a horse farm and a half.
Yep. But we'll talk about it more later, whenever it's scheduled.
Yeah.
Will that be on the July agenda?
Potentially.
Well, let me back up. It doesn't hit that high-volume user trigger.
It does not.
But is it one of those that you're going to want to bring to us anyway?
Well, I mean, you'll have to because it's a permit, right? But
operating permit, yes.
There's issues. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
I have a meeting scheduled with Brian tomorrow to talk about it.
Okay. So you've not talked to all the commissioners yet?
I think he's said as much as, or more than he's already comfortable saying.
No, that.
He backed up a little bit. No, I'm working on it. I'm working my way through it.
Okay.
More to come later.
Yep. More to come later.
Budget holding looks like it's holding fairly well, other than new well registrations.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, sir. Sorry, somebody's messaging here me on here. Okay. Yes, you will. Somebody asked if they'll be able to attend. Yes, once the hearing is scheduled, it is public hearing. All the public is welcome to attend and discuss. Right now, I'm working through some stuff, some issues we've identified, and I need to visit with our attorney about that. Sorry, I was addressing a question I just asked you.
That's all right. I understood that.
Doug, if we were to have a request for a data center for a well,
mm-hmm.
sounds like what's coming, would we want to entertain meetings somewhere other than this facility?
It's possible.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think that might be ideal.
Cool.
I think
AT&T Stadium.
Right.
No. The next 6 weeks is a stadium.
This place will fill up. So,
do we want to try to do it the county in which it's filed?
That's a question
for the board.
Tracy, I will visit with you, and
okay. We
can figure that out once we get it scheduled. And I'll see if I can find a place if that's what you want to do.
Would we need to? How would we announce the meeting? Since we would be announcing the next meeting from here in a few minutes. Location and time.
Right. So I think you don't have to announce it. You can announce TBD, right? Location. Because technically the notice is just, 10 days for the hearing and 3 days for the regular meeting. So we can just announce the meeting location is to be determined, possibly. Possibly.
Uh-oh. This is from Springtown High School.
No, Tracy's talking about going further south.
Like Springtown.
Like Granbury.
Our first few applications are going to be from Hood County. That's where the interest is from.
No problem.
We haven't been down there in a long time.
I know.
We could hold this one in Monte.
A community room would hold a fair amount.
Decent size room.
Use Nakona. Ringo.
There you go. That's all I've got.
We do not have any budget amendments, correct?
I do not have any budget amendments. Brad, I don't believe, do you have a general counsel's report?
I do not.
Thanks. Yep. So Brian had another meeting. Brad's been sitting in with us. He has nothing to report. The next meeting will be July 16th. Time, location to be determined.
Time and location to be determined, which we'll have to do shortly if you've got to post some things.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I will work with Doug on that to get there. Anybody has any other new business that placed on next month's agenda, obviously get in touch with Doug or myself, and we will do that. And I show we're adjourned at 7:14 p.m. Thank you, folks.
Great meeting. Thank y'all.
Hey, Tracy.